The following message is presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Now the message.
The book of Luke, chapter 11, and we'll begin reading with verse 33, and then when we've read those verses, we will move over to Job, chapter 28. In Luke chapter 11, in verse 33, this is part of Luke's account of the Sermon on the Mount, and Jesus is speaking. Luke 11:33, Jesus said, "No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it away in a cellar or under a basket, but on a lampstand so that those who enter may see the light. For the eye is the lamp of your body, or the light of your body. And when your eye is clear or single, then your whole body is also full of light. But when it is bad and your body is full of darkness, then watch out that the light in you is not darkness. If therefore your whole body is full of light with no darkness part in it, you will be wholly illuminated. And when the lamp illuminates or lights you with its rays." In Job chapter 28, Job is struggling with the will of God, trying to figure out what God's doing in his life. In verse 7, the King James says, there is a path. And then he talks about that ultimately only God knows what that path is, that the world doesn't know. In verse 12 of Job chapter 28, it says, "But where shall wisdom be found? And where is the place of understanding? Man knoweth not the price thereof, and neither is it found in the land of the living." He said, there is a path, but no man understands it. No man knows. No man can find it on their own. But he asked the question, where are you going to find this wisdom, and where are we going to be able to find this path and to walk in it? In verse 23, Job says, "God understandeth the way thereof, and he knoweth the place thereof." And then in the verse 28, "And unto man he said, Behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding." Father, we pray today that you will help us to see and to understand and to know that you are really the only way that we can ever know how to live, to walk the path. We pray this morning that you will speak to us in our lives, apply your word to our hearts, and help us to leave here trusting you today and being obedient to you in our life. In Jesus' name we pray. We've been talking about the will of God for 3 weeks, and in fact some of the outlines are still, the last 3 weeks' sermons are still back there on the table if you'd like them. But understanding the will of God and how to live in the will of God is probably one of the greatest achievements we'll ever make in our Christian life. I've quoted George Truett probably over the last 3 weeks, but George Truett, one of the great preachers before W.A. Crystal and pastor at First Baptist Church in Dallas, and he said, "To know the will of God is the greatest knowledge, and to do the will of God is the greatest achievement." Now, I believe this. If God has a will for our life, he has a plan for our life, and he does, then he wants us to know it. He does not save us and then just leave us hanging to find our own way. He wants to give us guidance and wisdom and direction and ultimately, to say, there is a way in which I want you to travel. Now, Job is struggling with that. You know the story of Job, and I don't want to take all the time going back and telling that story, but Job, has faced, God kind of allowed Satan to come in and for his own purposes and reasons, to allow him to face great trouble in his life. And he was struggling to understand what it was. His friends who came in and said, "Job, you've got to be a horrible sinner or this stuff wouldn't be happening to you. You're telling us you're righteous, but you can't be righteous and all this bad stuff happened to you." And so they were giving him a horrible time, and Job, in his own heart, knew that he had loved God, he had tried to live for God, he had lived righteously, he had lived with integrity, and he declared that, in his responses to his friends, and they called him a liar, basically. You know, and he struggled with that until struggle began to ask God ultimately what's happening. But then when he comes to chapter 28, he's saying here, God, I know there's a path. I know there is, you know, a place that you have us to walk. It's a place that can't be discovered by man or by the world. He uses illustration of the miner going to find a mine and the world looking for it and all that. He said, God, I know that you're the one who has set the path and you're the only one who can lead us to it. Now, he was struggling to know the will of God. How do you understand what's happening to him? His friend certainly wasn't helping him, you know. And so many times, when we're seeking for the will of God, we listen to our lost friends and the worldly friends. And folks, I'm telling you, they don't know what the will of God is for you. No, you know, your lost friends are going to lead you away from God, lead you into the darkness. There's no wisdom in the world. There's no wisdom that man can't find it. So that's what Job asked. He said, where is this wisdom found? Where's that place of understanding? And, you know, that no man knows thereof, but it's only found in the land of the living. God is the only one who can lead us into that place. There is a path that God has for you that no one else can tell you what it is. No matter where you are in your Christian life, it's important that we understand that God has a will for your life and He wants us to know it and He wants us to walk in it. We need to affirm that God has not just saved us and then left us and say, okay, go out there and live on your own, do what you want to do, try to do your best, and you know, and just work hard and do good things and all that stuff, and it's just going to work out. That, folks, is not true. God has saved you for a purpose and a plan, and He has a purpose for your life. He has a will for your life. He has an individual plan for your life. Now, the last 3 weeks, we've shared about the truths about knowing and living in the will of God. And to be honest with you, as a pastor, there are very few weeks that goes by that somebody doesn't ask me something about the will of God. What am I supposed to do? Where am I supposed to go? What is this supposed to happen? And I spend a large part of whatever counseling experience I do talking to people about how to discover and find the will of God and what is God's will for their lives in these circumstances, situation, and praying for people to find the path of God, where God really wants them to go. And it doesn't matter whether we're a new Christian or whether we've been a Christian most of our life, we struggle with coming up with where the will of God is. I think there's reasons why we struggle. You know, one of the main reasons we struggle is we trust our feelings too much. Folks, God's will is not based on how we feel. When we trust our feelings, we're going to make wrong choices. Now, we make decisions in three realms. We make decisions with our intellect, which is our mind. We make decisions in our emotion, which is our feelings. And we make decisions in our will, which is the volitional will of God. I've taught you that many times, I think, in the time that I've been your pastor, but most of the times, you know, we sometimes just make decisions based on what's logical. It just seems that's the right thing we ought to do, okay? But sometimes some of those logical things doesn't line up with the Word of God and the will of God, you know, and so we're going to make mistakes. Sometimes we base it on our feelings. Well, I just don't feel like it. I just don't feel like doing this. If this was God's will, then I would have certain feelings. And so we start making decisions out of our feelings. And when we make decisions out of our feelings, folks, I can guarantee you can mark it down in your book 99% of the time, it's going to be wrong. Because our feelings change from one day to the next, sometimes from one moment to the next. Talking to one young lady this week and talking about not making decisions based on her feelings, she said, well, my feelings change several times during the day. Okay? And so if we base our decisions on how we feel, then we're going to make mistakes. So how do we live the Christian life and find the path God has for us? It is a volitional choice of our will. When God saves us, and if you're not saved, then understand this. If you're not saved, then the only thing you need to be worried about at the moment is to get saved. Because you can't walk in the will of God, live in the will of God in your own strength and your own ability. It is an impossibility. You can't do it. You need salvation. You need Jesus Christ. But once you trust Him as your Savior and Lord, He moves into your heart and life, and He then enables you to be able to make right choices, and He enlightens your will, and He enlightens your capacity to be able to follow Him, and He empowers you and enables you to be able to make the right choices. And so we choose in our will, our volitional will, to say, I'm going to be obedient to God, so I'm going to follow His path and wherever He leads me. We make that choice. But so many times we make those choices based on feelings, or, you know, we just don't. Sometimes God tells us something and we just don't want to do it. So we don't trust Him. Many times the reason we don't know God's will is simply because we will not obey Him. See, God's already told us what to do. And He's already given us light for the next step. But we won't take that step because we don't want to do it. And then we want God to suddenly open up the door for us and show us what His will is. And God said, I already have. That's the next step. So I think one of the reasons so many times that we fail to understand and struggle so with the will of God is because ultimately we're not willing to be obedient. We still want to hang on to our control of our lives the best that we can. Now, we learn through repetition. There's no question about that. So today I kind of want to remind you of some of those principles we've talked about in the last 3 weeks. You know, first of all, first week we preached on some shared principles that will enable us to know and to walk in the will of God. It starts with ultimately with a commitment to do it, to be obedient. That's what we've been talking about already, to be obedient to God. God gives us enough light to walk in the path one step at a time. And when we obey the light we have, then He reveals the next step to us that we can take to be where He wants us to be. And then we need to use our minds to focus it upon spiritual things. You know, I gave you a list of C's. They're back, you know, there's a copy back there if you didn't get one. You know, where we contemplate the things of God. But when we talk about it, we keep our focus on spiritual things. We stop looking at the world and all the things that are going on, and we keep our focus upon God. You know, and then if we're saved, we can trust the conviction that grows inside of us, because the Holy Spirit of God, God Himself, has indwelt us in our bodies, and there is a growing conviction and leadership that He will give us. And then we seek the counsel of other godly Christians. I've already said, folks, one of the biggest things wrong with Christians' lives is they listen to the lost world rather than listening to God. And other people who are struggling as you're struggling to know the will of God, to know, and that's one of the reasons why church is important, one of the reasons why Bible study is important, one of the reasons why you need to fellowship with other Christian people and be a part of what's going on. And when we have opportunities, to seize those opportunities for, you know, because that is there where you bond with other Christian people. That's part of what church is about, and fellowship with godly people so that you can get advice from them. And then you need to keep our eyes open to the opportunities God will give us. So we look at the circumstances around us, and we examine those circumstances, and we seek God's leadership to say, Lord, is this the door I'm supposed to walk through? Is this the direction I'm supposed to go? And God begins to confirm that with open doors or shut doors, and begins to, you know, give us guidance and leadership through that. We can't trust any one of these totally by itself, but all of them put together conforms and helps us to begin to grasp and understand the will of God. And then, you know, above everything else, we have to confirm it with the Word of God. Now, I know that specifics, sometimes you're not going to find answers necessarily in God's Word. He's going to say, well, am I supposed to take this new job? You're not going to open up a Bible and it's going to tell you to move to somewhere and take a job. It's not going to be there. But I promise you this, if you begin to honestly seek God's guidance by opening His Word and reading it and studying it, He will give you a confirmation and a peace that will come to you, because you know that you're seeking Him above everything else. And ultimately, that's what Job is saying here. Behold, fear of the Lord, that's wisdom. You know, the awe and the reverence for God and for His Word. He will confirm what you're supposed to do through His Word. And then, absolutely, you pray about everything. Communicate with God about it. you talk to him, you learn how to pray, you pour your heart out to him, and you trust him to give you guidance and leadership. Now Sunday, the next sermon on the will of God, we saw that sometimes we discern God's will basically through fellowship with other people and with him. We looked at the story of the two disciples walking down the Emmaus Road. And when Jesus, you know, came, was crucified and buried, he rose again. You know, some of the other Christian people had told these disciples that, hey, Jesus is alive. We saw, the angels came and told us. But instead of staying in fellowship with them, they left. And they were struggling and downhearted and about that. Folks, I'll tell you, sometimes when you walk out and back out of fellowship with the people of God, you're going to find that you're missing out on the will of God. God works together with his people. And then the word of God is still central. We can never get away from it. If you remember when Jesus came and started walking in fellowship with them, walking down the road with them, what did he do? He opened the scriptures up to those disciples and said to them, look, all you had to do was study God's word. This is what it says. This is what the prophets have been talking about. This is what you've been taught. You know, you've heard it. And, you know, they began to walk in fellowship with him. Their hearts was lifted. And then they stopped at their home. It was about to go in, and they asked Jesus to come in and fellowship with them. And it was that moment he went in to fellowship with them. And then he revealed himself to them as he began to break bread. Folks, I'll tell you, we learn the will of God as we walk in fellowship with Jesus Christ and listen to his word and stay in fellowship with his other people. And when we do all of that, we find there's a growing passion that begins to come in our lives. These disciples said, wasn't there a fire burning in us? You know, as he walked with us, there's a passion that grows, and we begin to seek God more and more. Then last week, we looked at the history of Israel, and we shared some of the truths. When Israel tried to do things their own way, and they tried to win the battle over the Philistines by taking the ark out, basically and use it like a magic wand, and said, oh, it's a representative of the presence of God. Surely God is not going to let the Philistines destroy us. And so ultimately, because they were not doing it God's way, they were doing it their own way, the way they thought was logical and reasonable and whatever, they lost the ark and they lost the battle. They lost the war. They lost their lands and their cities to the Philistine control. It took some 20 years for them to realize what had gone on and what had happened. God had brought the ark back to them and began to, you know, to bless those around them. And the hearts of the people began to long for God. Folks, I'll tell you, when we begin to long for God himself rather than the things God can do for us, then we find that God's going to reveal himself to us. You know, so many times we want God's blessings. We want God to bring about the change. We want God to restore what we've lost. We want God to give us all of these things that goes along, when in reality what we need is God. And so when we look for him, long for him, search for him, then, you know, that is when we'll find it. And when they begin to seek God himself, then God returned the ark to them. All the things that they had lost by trying to do things their own way suddenly was returned. And they were restored in their lands and their cities. Real revival took place within the land. Oops. And we learned out of that you need to reverence the things of God. The ark was a symbol of the very presence of God. We need to desire God alone. But also there came a point where we have to turn away from those things which keep us from coming to God. They had to turn away from their false idols and all the other things they were seeking and seek God and God alone. And that always results, you know, that's a repentance. And when you turn from your sin, then there's always a confession. You confess, God, you were right, I was wrong. And we surrender ultimately to him, you know, which means that we end up depending on God and God alone in order to give us that which we're seeking. Now, folk, Job here in our text this morning, in chapter 28, he's asking the question, where do you find the wisdom of God? Where do you find the will of God? Well, he then gives us a list of places it can't be found if you read the whole chapter. But he assures us that there is a path, but there is a place of understanding. Man can't find it on his own, but verse 23 says, but God understandeth the way of, and he knoweth the place of, And then in the last verse, he said it again. Behold, the fear of God, the reverence and the awe of God, when you begin to seek God and Him alone, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil, that's understanding. To know the will of God, folks, I'm telling you what's this. You have to look nowhere else except to God. We must abandon our reasoning and our logic, and we must focus our thoughts and our minds upon the things of God and upon His Word. I'm telling you something, it is never, ever, under any circumstances, God's will for us to walk and to live and to act in any other way except what God's Word has said. This Word is always right about everything that goes on. If we've made mistakes or whatever, we need to turn from those things and turn back to God and say, God, I come seeking forgiveness and repentance, and we return to You, and we'll begin to seek God above everything else. We need to get back into our world today and in our churches today where we fear God more than anything else in our lives. We live in a world today that's no longer in awe of God. Folks, God is the Lord of lords. He is the King of kings. He's the creator, the sustainer, the destiny towards which our world moves. And if we're going to know what is right for our lives, there's only one place we're going to find it, and that's look to God Himself. There's nowhere else to go. And that, it's impossible for us to find it unless we spend some time in fellowship with God through His Bible, through His Word, and through His prayer. If you haven't got a personal Bible study time, then you're going to struggle with knowing what the will of God is. Folks, I'm telling you, there ought to be some time, it ought to be a priority in our life where we find some time to spend in God's Word and pray every day. And as we grow, we develop and learn more about how to do that and how to spend time with God, but to listen to Him. But we begin to seek God. Sometimes we may not know what to do. When we first get started, we just simply get up and say, God, I need You. Help me to find You today. And I want to focus on You, and I want to do what You want me to do. And we spend time talking to Him and studying His Word and saying, God, where do You want me to go? But we're seeking God. We obey God. Now, and Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, we read a moment ago from Luke 12. He's talking about, he said that there's a light of our body is the eye. And if the eye is single or if the eye is clear, it's the idea if it's focused. If it's bad, it's an idea of being unfocused. He said if it's focused, we have light. We have direction. We know where to go. But if it's bad, then we're pulled. We see double vision, I remember when I had the eye surgery here a while back and I splashed some chemicals in my eye and I saw double for about 2 weeks. And, I said, I struggled whether that was going to continue forever or not. And I'll tell you something, folks, it's a lot better to be able to see single, clear. That's what Jesus said. If it's single, then there's, direction. There is light. But then he warns us in verse 35. He said, take heed therefore that the light which is in thee is not darkness. If the whole body therefore is full of light, having no part in the darkness, then the whole shall be full of light, like a bright shining candle that illuminates our path. See, if our single eye is fixed on Christ alone, then we're filled with light. But if we don't walk in the light, here's the warning. We look to God. God gives us light. God tells us the step we're to take. And if we do not walk in the light God gives us, folks, then we get into darkness. Our lives get messed up. We become unhappy and miserable, begin seeking things that we can't find in the world will never satisfy us. Those things will never satisfy us. It is when we put Christ first and our focus is upon Him above everything else. Jeremiah chapter 13 said, hear and give ear. Do not be proud, for the Lord has spoken. Give glory to the Lord your God before He causes darkness and before your feet stumble upon the dark mountains. And while you look for the light, He turns into the shadow of death and make it a gross darkness. What a contrast. God, Jesus has given us here. Contrast between two people. One whose eyes focused on God and who's following his path, who's stepping into the light that he gives. The other is one who is not acting upon the light that God has given, and so he ends up in the darkness. See, one body is full of light and the other is full of darkness. One has clear direction and the other is stumbling around, not knowing what they're supposed to do. Folks, we're supposed to give God glory that is his. Understand, he's the Lord of lords, the God of God, King of kings, as I've already said before. He's the creator, sustainer. He's the destiny towards which all of life is moving. And I say, he is always right. So if he gives you some light to walk in, whether you feel like it or not, or whether you want to or not, we choose to walk in the light. And I promise you what will happen is, as you trust God, those feelings and those want-tos and all that stuff will begin to change. And you'll begin to continue the path in God's direction. And as a result of that, you'll have God's blessings. But if you fail to walk in the light he's given us, then we will stumble into the darkness. And we will struggle. Wonder why we're not happy. Wonder why things aren't going well. Folks, remember, I don't believe God gives us light for two steps at a time. He gives us light for the first step. He wants us to see if we'll obey him. So we're not to hesitate when the light's there. Someone said delayed obedience is disobedience. See, we're not to worry about the future, what the future holds. Don't worry about what's out there. A year from now, 10 years from now, 20 years from now, what do? We walk in the light God gives us right now. One step at a time. And when we step into that light, then we'll find that he gives us light for the next step. He gives us guidance as to what we're to do. But if we don't take the step God's given us, then we stumble in the darkness. The way is plain. Job said, there's a path. And that path is the fear of the Lord. That's wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding. John chapter 10 says that he knows his sheep. And they know him. And they hear his voice. And they follow him. Folks, as God reveals his will and gives us the light to walk in, and we need to take that step, focused on God. When God gives us a revelation, a light, our guidance, we take that step, we obey him, and then we'll find that there's further guidance, and he will lead us all along the path, and he will be with us, and he will not forsake us. That he will meet our need. So as God reveals something that you need to do, some commitment you need to make, some decision you need to make, you know, in a worship service such as this, if you feel a positive drawing towards God, that's God leading you. That's the step you're supposed to take. You need to be obedient to him. And to say, God, yes, because you're leading me today, I'm going to do it. Now, there are certain things very clear about God's word. We're supposed to live. We're supposed to be saved. Jesus says the will of God that you believe on him. John chapter 6. Then we're to obey him. Jesus said, make disciples and baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Every person who's ever got saved was baptized as quickly as possible after they were saved in the New Testament. Then we're supposed to live sanctified lives. And 1 Thessalonians says this is the will of God that you be holy. And we live sanctified lives. We're to live under his control. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 17 says we're to be filled with the Spirit, which literally means under the control of the Spirit. This is the will of God for you, he says. Commit to obey God. And whatever he's leading you to do, and whatever decision he leads you to make, that's the light he's given you. It's the step you need to take. He'll show you what to do as we obey him. If we continue to obey him, we'll continue to have his guidance. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning for the opportunity we have to worship. And we do pray that you'll help us keep our focus upon you, and that we'll trust your leadership. That we'll listen, that we'll trust, and that we'll obey. There are those here today who need to make some decisions, and we pray that you will touch their heart and draw them to you, and that they will be obedient in what you're leading them to do. In Jesus' name.
The preceding message was presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about the church, including contact information, please go to our website, www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.